I want you to take a hand by the next to you and bring it across these aisles. I want you to hear what you just confessed. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And let Him have your attention. Let Him have your attention. Let the Holy Spirit have your attention for a minute. You know what we just did in this moment? We worshiped. And in worship, you know what? We get to forget our own junk for just a moment and realize there's a God that cares. Now, Eric, as we continue, see, this is seamless. This is what we forget. We're going to witness a baptism. And then we're going to go right into the offering. And I want you to know that that's seamless too, because today I want you to know that every one of you who claim the name of Christ, there comes a point in time, do you really believe? And I pray that everyone at Hillview Heights Church who claims the name of Christ is going to live in the name of Christ, so they will live on in the name of Christ. It's a real deal. So I want to pray that the offering be blessed. But I wanted to do that today before you saw and witnessed the baptism, because we're all about carrying and connecting people to Jesus. And so I really feel like the Spirit's leading at this part of the service is going to be the witness of this beautiful baptism, because Chad, you've done what God's asked us to do. And then we're going to have another song. We're going to take up an offering. And today we're going to come to the altar right after the offering. The sermon is going to be an altar. And we're going to really deal with God on about three connection points. And so I want us to pray right now that we would just clear our minds. We're going to give. We're going to love. We're going to let God heal some things in here today. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, You're real. I want to thank You for that, Jesus, that You're real. I just want to praise You for a minute, Jesus, that You're real. Lord, I'm glad we don't read out of a fairy tale. I'm glad we don't read a myth. I'm so glad that Your Bible's not placed in the fiction section of the bookstore. It is truth, God. Some of us come today believing it is absolute, undisputed truth. Others of us today, God, we really quite, if we got honest before You right now, we believe the parts of the Bible that agree with us, and we discard the parts that we find uncomfortable, but we want to grow. Some of us come in here, Lord, because we've lived a fantastic life in a week with You, and others of us, we've gathered together and we know we're not where You want us to be. But we've all come today, God. And so we're presented before You in this moment. And Lord, I pray that You will heal right now, and that You'll draw people to believe, because only You can do that. And Lord, as I pray, as we witness baptism and see the offering, that we will connect to who You really are, Jesus. Lord, forgive us for being fake. Forgive us for not loving people. God, forgive us in America for arrogance and pride. And so, Lord, it's very hard for me to ask You to bless our economy until I repent for us messing it up. Lord, forgive us where we have violated Your principles about debt. God, forgive us for where we've lusted after stuff more than purpose. God, forgive us where we have cheated employees out of their wages. And God, forgive employees where they have cheated employers out of theirs. And Lord, heal us. And let us, if You don't mind, God, for those that are willing in this room to be a light in the midst of darkness, in a crazy time called the 21st century. So as we witness these baptisms and as we give our offerings, may we be blessed unto God. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord. This is my friend Tim McBee. And we're proud of him. Tim has made a manly decision to give his life to Christ. And Tim, I want you to know that God's a loving God, and He's a forgiving God. So He's going to forgive you for being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's an inside joke. I'm going to ask you three questions, Tim. Do you know and believe that God lived a perfect life, came down to this earth as Jesus, and He died on a cross to forgive you of all your sins?
Yes, I do.
Have you asked Him into your heart?
Yes, I have.
And do you know and believe and feel that He is living in you today?
Yes.
Amen. It's upon your profession of faith, Tim, that I want to baptize you, and I get the honor to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, receive this blessing.
Father, we thank You. Lord, I thank You for saving Tim, Lord. For forgiving him of his sin, Lord. We thank You for that. And I thank You for the power of salvation that You hold today. And for those here watching who right now the Holy Spirit is impressing upon their hearts that they need You in their life. They need their sin forgiven. We lift Tim up to You as our brother in Christ. And Lord, I pray that he'd go from these waters and he'd never stop sharing, Lord, the things that You've done in his life. So, Lord, we thank You that You are indeed Lord of all. So reign on us today, Lord. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
As the offering is being taken up, just go ahead and listen. You can give and listen. And I want you to hear, because this is what the sermon's about today. Every one of you that have given something, guess what? You're given something so that someone might connect to Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 2. And I want you to think about, if I claim that I have received Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. That's what I'm claiming. Okay, so I'm really confessing. Hey, I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sin. Well, you know what? We believe at Hillview, I want you to know what we believe. We believe that people are forgiven through Jesus Christ. So I want to give you two things that we believe in this church. First of all, we believe all people have sinned. How many of y'all believe all people have sinned? All right, so if you were, watch this, if you were coming to church today and you were going like this, man, I wonder if they know what I've done. Yeah, we do. See, now some of y'all are scared as hell. Go, oh, wait. God, you've sinned and I've sinned and we've sinned. Just go ahead and look at your neighbor and go, sinner. Okay, good. Now we've got that confession out of the way, all right? Now, here's what I want y'all to know. There comes a point that you got to come to this realization. Now, I want you to listen to me. You know, some of you depressed people leave here depressed all the time because you won't ever listen to what works. So what happens to me, it's hard for me, that's why I'm not God, to get mercy on people that won't receive help. Does that make sense? Now, sometimes you can't move by yourself. Which brings us to the plot. Now, here's what I want you to know. I want you to hear what your pastor believes. I believe if you want to be miserable, you should have every right to that existence. Well, Steve Tisher, you know what I believe? Misery is a choice. I don't believe God designed you to be miserable. I don't believe God wants you to be less than He's made you to be. I believe that Jesus Christ recreates us to a different life. I also believe this. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean there won't be difficulty. There's always going to be difficulty, but you have possibility. Now here's what I want you to know. Jesus forgives sin. How many of you all believe that? That Jesus Christ is the forgiver of sin. Now, you need to know that. You need to know that there at Hillview, because here's the thing. You may want to stay here. You may not want to stay here, because I wouldn't look good on an interview. If the news station interviewed me and they said, Pastor Ayers, that's why they don't interview me. Do you believe people who don't follow Jesus Christ go to heaven? I would say no. I would say it real clear. No. They say, so you believe nice Buddhists don't go to heaven? Yes, I believe they don't go to heaven. And the world would go, ah! They would go, you are a judgmental bigot. I go, no, I'm not. You asked me what I believed. I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. I believe, hold on, I appreciate y'all praising, but I want everybody to hear this. I believe that Jesus is the only way sin can be forgiven. So you ask me what I believe. I can't change what I believe just because a few people don't agree. So you got to decide. I mean, if you come to Hillview Heights Church, guess what? We're not here so that this is a cool place to hang out. So what? There's a lot of places that are cool to hang out. We believe that Jesus Christ is the source of ultimate life change. Salvation. Does that make sense? Now, here's what I want y'all to get head up on. Here's the altar opportunity, okay? I'm going to give you three places. Here's what I find people do with their faith. There's three things people do with their faith. They sit on it. They bring other people to it. And they walk in what God said they could be. That's really the characters I see at Hillview. We got people here that just sit. Y'all seen them here at Hillview, don't you? I mean, they come. I mean, hey, and I'm glad you're sitting, because guess what? You got to sit before you can go. However, if you've been sitting for 10 years, hey, it's about time to walk. You know, there's a lot of people, that's all they do. They sit and they say, all right, God, what are you going to do for me? And I say, wait a minute, what have you heard Him tell you to do? You see, that's what activates your faith. Not what is God going to do for you, but how are you going to walk in what He's done? I'm going to cover that in just a second. Okay? And then we got people that are walking. They are walking with what God said. Now check this out. They walk in what God said. How many of you all are walking in what God said? Well, I'll tell you. First thing is this. Jesus is enough. If you go with me to Mark chapter 2, here's the episode that unfolds. Jesus has come back into His hometown. He is preaching the Word to them. What's He preaching to them?
The Word.
What do you get preached to every Sunday?
The Word.
Now, you can decide to either embrace that or you can reject that. Or you probably do what most of us do. You take a little bit of it and you discard what's uncomfortable. Now, if you want to improve your life, eventually, somewhere down the line, you actually got to do something. Here's what I found insanity is, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different what? There are some ways, I want to give you all some shocking news. There are some ways to solve the problems that we have in America. Here's a few of them. If you would like to get out of poverty, work. There's a way that helps you out of poverty.
Pastor Steve, you don't understand. The only place that has a job is Hardee's. You don't understand. You have a GED. Hardee's.
Well, they're violating my right. No. You chose not to pick up your right to public education when you were 14. Because you had the same opportunity as what? But you chose what? All kinds of choices you can make at 14. You can text the whole time the teacher's going on. You can skip school and smoke dope. You can just walk around and do nothing. And they'll give you a C. Or you can learn and have opportunity to walk. Now, here's what I've noticed. It's no use to be judgmental and mean to people because everybody makes bad choices. How many of y'all have met somebody that has never made a bad choice? If you have, run from them. Because they're probably the most deceived, denying, self-righteous. I could use a few other adjectives, but I better not. And if you notice, when you get around people like this, it's total condemnation. And I'm going to show you because the story thing couldn't. In Mark chapter 2, we have the release of the gospel and the condemnation of the religious. And I want you to know something from Hillview Heights Church. If you plan on being religious here, leave. If there is something that I despise worse than anything on the face of the American culture, is the religious. And here's why. Nobody lives. Religious people don't live. Here's what they do. They're miserable and they're on one mission. They're like one giant longmore. They spread out their wings and they want to make sure that as many people that go through life with them, Eric, are what? Smothered, confined, and choked by their religious ideology. Hello? Pretty bad after two sermons. Huh? Young people, be careful. Be careful what you really buy into. There are a lot of people that will espouse doctrine, rules, and regulations. But guess what? So of all, they could never look at somebody and say, get up and walk. And they walk. I don't want you to miss the power. A lot of Jesus substitutes in our culture. Well, here's the problem. Jesus is real. That's number one. I want you to know that. His Word is real. It's not negotiable. You're in a church that believes the Word of God's the Word of God. And you say, well, why do you bring that up? You need to know what your church believes. I believe the Bible is absolutely God's Word. I believe it says what it says. I believe it means what it means. And I believe it'll do what it says it's going to do. You say, well, Pastor Harris, what about those parts where axe heads float on water? I believe that happened. How did that happen? I have no idea. I believe the Red Sea parted. I believe God spoke it into existence and it exists. You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve. You're very primitive and probably didn't make good grades. I am a high, wide-fired, high-tech scientist. No problem. We have no contradiction. You're just discovering what God already spoke into existence. Science doesn't conflict with God. It's not big enough to conflict with God. Philosophy doesn't conflict with God. We're not smart enough to conflict with God. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to encourage you today, is Jesus God? And if He is He worth listening to? More than that, is He worth following? Well, there were four guys in this story. Jesus is teaching in a house. When Jesus arrived there and the Word of God was taught, so many people gathered there that it overran the house. I hope that happens to us. And then there were four. There were some of them. There were four of them. Some of them that were four of them. There were four of them that were mentioned. Some came carrying a man paralyzed. Simple as this. You and I meet people every day that can't live. True or false? For whatever reason, they can't live. And I want you to know, I really do feel our pain. I hate it that kids have to grow up in split homes. I hate it that fathers abandon their children. I hate it that mothers don't live up to their responsibility. I hate it that people do irresponsible things and expect great blessings. I hate all that stuff. Don't y'all hate all that stuff? Because it hurts people and I'm in love with people. But hold on. I want you to know that we have all sinned, but Jesus can release us. Are you hearing this? Now, four guys were so convinced that Jesus could change their buddy's life. I want you to see what they did. They came carrying a paralyzed man to Jesus because they were convinced that Jesus could do what? Heal somebody. Change the situation, Chuck. How many of you all are convinced that Jesus can change the situation? Amen. Why? Well, He has. Yeah, I've seen Him do it. What else? Come on, work with me. Well, the Word says it. But watch this. Doesn't it get better? After the Word says it and you see it, isn't it more then you really what? Believe it. How many of you all took Jesus at His Word and it went exactly like He said He was going to do? How many of you all have gone, watch this, here's another test. How many of you all have ever done what the Word of God said, do not do? What happened? I mean, I wouldn't point any of you out, but I'll point myself out. the areas in my life where God said you need to go do this and you didn't do this, guess what? I challenge you to go research this. I reaped the exact consequence that the Bible said I would reap. And it paralyzed me. Now here's the cool thing. God doesn't want you to be paralyzed. I think there's a healing of a paralyzed man because guess what? Without love vibing through us, JP, guess what? We're paralyzed. Isn't that wild? Without the forgiveness of God in there, Drake, guess what? You are limited to human understanding. I mean, and that ain't much. But with the power of God, all things are possible. Does that make sense? So watch this. Four of these guys were so believing they carried their friend to Jesus. University students, I know that in the spring you all will come and you will have mission trips you need to go on, and all the religious groups will have all of these great things they want to go reach people. I would like to challenge you and ask you, what's the matter with the 18,000 lost people you go to school with every day? What, do they go to like home hell and the others go to foreign hell? Do you realize if you're a Western Kentucky University student that over 70% of the people you go to school with are dying and going to hell? Now guess when you'll do something about it, when you really believe that. Because when you believe that, guess what you do? You go get the corner of the mat. One Central High School, Hemming. Over half that population, about 1,200 students there. So there's at least 700 students. You got one semester left. That's it. You're at the beginning of the end. What do you think about that? That's just of high school. Life's not over. But a very enjoyable part is. Because guess what you got to do after high school and college? I wish you all would say that with firm commitment. That would help our economy. Go to work, yeah. Is what, Hemming, over half your high school doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Lamar, where you go to work, half the people you see don't know who. Do we care? I didn't ask if we should. I said, do we care? I'm looking for revival. I've been looking for revival for a long time. Revival's real simple. When we move from should to I am, there'll be the revival. I think the revival's got to be this. We got to start picking up our friends. We got to start really loving people. These four guys loved their buddy. He was paralyzed. I don't know how he got paralyzed. He may have fallen off a camel. He may have had an accident. You know, I don't know what happened to him, but he's paralyzed. You know what his buddies did? They carried him to Jesus. You know what? When they saw the room was crowded, they went to the roof. They dug a hole in the roof and they lowered their friend to Jesus because these guys were faithful. They believed if their friend got near Jesus, he would get what? How many of y'all got some friends that you got that same belief about? Alan, you believe, brother. Crazy, wild man. It's been 10 years ago, hasn't it? You got saved 10 years ago. You bring friends all the time. Why do you bring your friends to church? You want them saved. Is it hard to do? I mean, do people look at you and go, Alan, I will never speak to you again because you've mentioned Jesus in the possibility of me going to heaven. I will never talk to you again. Never say Jesus in front of me. You ever had that happen? Me either. I've had people say this, I ain't into religious stuff. And I said, well, good, come to church with me. We're not either. I'm telling the truth. Now, I've had people tell me this, Pastor Ayers, I don't believe in Jesus. I've already heard the message. I don't want to receive Jesus. And if I go to hell, I go to hell. And I say, all right, go to hell. I'm very serious about that. I can't make people receive Jesus. It doesn't work that way. But I'm sure going to invite them to his possibility. Does that make sense? I want to show you, I don't think that's important. Second thing I want to challenge you today, your faith moves. How many of y'all got faith? You got to believe in stuff. Guess what? You got to have faith. You got to have faith that God's going to do something. We'll have faith that God's going to do something. Because guess what? Eric, I believe God's already got all the faith he needs. But we got to have a faithful response. They believed Jesus was going to do something. And Jesus looked up at him. Look what he said. He's looking up in the roof. And here's what Jesus says. He saw their faith and said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are what? Now, at the altar, you know what I want to invite you to right now? To have your sins forgiven. Now listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, young people, if you all learn how to do this, it will just clear so much baggage, okay? All right? Therapists have enough money. My generation has totally taken care of funding the therapist. You know what keeps a lot of health going? Watch this. Dear God, I'm sorry. I apologize. This is where I've sinned. Thank you for forgiving me and living in forgiveness. It's important. He said, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand what people have done to me. There's no way I can forgive them. No. Yeah, there is. If you'll embrace Jesus, you can forgive them. They go, but they've done hideous things. Jesus knows. They beat Him. They crucified Him. They spit on Him. They lied about Him. They betrayed Him. Does any of this sound familiar? They said they were going to do this and they did that. Any of y'all ever had that experience? And Jesus said, you know what? I want you to live in the forgiveness of God, the power of God, the ramifications of God. God will do something great. He saw their faith and Jesus was moved. Hillview, I wonder, we just took up an offering. When God saw our faith, I wonder if He was moved. Oh, by the way, if you make $100,000 and you gave a dollar, I wouldn't even give. Let me show you why. Have any of y'all ever waited tables? Anybody ever served in a restaurant? Let me ask you a question. What ticks you off worse? No tip or a dime? Did you hear that? A dime. Because if you don't tip at all, then everybody knows who you are. You're a cheap person. But if you give a dime, now you're telling me that's all I'm worth. Now I'm ticked. Huh? Am I not telling the truth? You've been in the restaurant business.
17 years.
Yeah. You know what? I want to honor God. Do you want to honor God? I'm telling you, Jesus ought to look down at the people at Hillview and see our faith and say, you know what? I want to release your friends in grace. Does that make sense? I want you to live in this kind of power. All right, you ready? Here's the third thing. When Jesus speaks it, it happens. Okay, now be careful with your words because they're powerful. There's some people that lied to us. How many of y'all remember this little thing growing up?
Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never.
Bull! Girls, any of y'all ever been called a name? Young ladies? Does it hurt? I have found that young females and young males, but young females especially, know how to use words that can rip other young females. Have y'all ever seen that? Males do it too. Humans do it. We use words to what? Paralyze. What does God use words for? Somebody got it. Who said it? He heals us. And He forgives us, and He empowers us, and He lets us get beyond the tragedy. How many of y'all glad to be worshiping a God today that will help you get beyond the tragedy? And here's the tragedy. We've all sinned. Now let me help you. Calling sin, no sin, doesn't make it go away. How many of y'all found that to be true? Watch this. If you're a drunk, and you say, I just have a drinking problem. Is that true? Y'all know how we do alcohol in our country, don't you? If you make over $100,000, you have a drinking problem. If you make $50,000, you're an alcoholic. If you make under $12,000, you're just a daggum drunk. They all three look alike, though. Because sin is what? Sin. And it kills us. And it paralyzes us. Now, these guys in this very biblical story had a friend that was paralyzed and they wanted him free. They brought him to Jesus and guess what Jesus said? Son, your sins be forgiven. Now, I just want you to know something. There were the religious sitting there. Look at the text. There they are. When he spoke this in verse 6. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to them, how can he do this? Only God alone can forgive what? Get it. He's God.
And then he said to them, well, which is easier for me to say, son, your sins are forgiven, or for me to say, get up and walk? Now, here's what I want you to note about Jesus. Jesus does not do dramatic healing like you see on TV. Go read the New Testament. You know why? He doesn't have a TV show. So he doesn't have to do any Hollywood healing. Notice here, Jesus does not bathe people in anointing oil. He does not throw prayer hankies on top of them. He does not drop trophy healing marks on them. He doesn't blow on them, spit on them, or do a cartwheel on them. He doesn't go, Now I want you to see this. It's where a lot of y'all are getting deceived. And you miss the true power of God. God heals without shenanigans. That's how powerful He is. You only need a shenanigan when it's not Him. There's not one evidence in there where Jesus ever healed and put on a show. Now, He did some weird things sometimes when He healed. Like this. You know, let me ask y'all this question. If you were blind and Jesus spat on the ground, didn't I say that nicely? Spat on the ground, spit on the ground, put a little mud cake together, and Dustin said, put this on your eyes and go wash and you'll be healed. Would you believe him? Or would you go like this? Ooh, gross, mud pies. I'm not putting them on my eyes. Well, come on, how many of y'all miss the power of God because you won't put the mud packs on your eyes? Or you miss the power of God because you say, well, that's not really sin. That's sin for other people, but it's not sin for me. No, it's sin for you too. And God wants to forgive what? Sin. And here's what's so cool. To show the religious who He was, that He was God, that He is Jesus, that He is the full power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He tells us, watch this. Tell me how dramatic this is. You ready? Here's His line. You ready? Y'all ready? Special revelation from heaven. You ready? I bet Jesus went, got His heaven radar out, locked in, got radar lock, and He gives these special revelation words. You ready? Get up and walk. Chuck, you know why Jesus healed like that? So very simple minds like you and I could really get that. Because if Jesus was a shenanigan healer, you and I would be lost because we'd be sitting there trying to figure out the shenanigan. But Jesus just simply says, get up and walk. How many times y'all seen Jesus heal like this? See, if you'll go to Bible study, you'll really see the real healing Jesus. And if He's healing, He doesn't change His mind on the way He heals. And He'll go like this. He does crazy things. Watch this. He'll go like, do you have leprosy? Be clean. And to demons, He goes like this. Go over there in the pigs. And they're going like, and He goes, you can't act up. You can't do flips. You can't do cartwheels. You can't do all this stuff. You can't do they didn't come out screaming, kicking, and doing the exorcist. Why? First of all, they weren't in Hollywood and they didn't have to make a movie. Secondly, what else? You're standing in the power of all power. The same God that said, get up and walk. Let me tell you what He said. You ready? If words aren't powerful. Remember this? Let there be light. And in April in Kentucky, there is. You know, January, February, March were a little gray, but around April, what happens? Light up. The world has light. So guys, God is love. And I'm going to ask you to embrace His love. First of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, I hope you'll come and do what? I hope you hear these words. Son, daughter, human being, your sins are what? That's how much we love people. We want you to know your sins can be forgiven. Some of you need to come and pray today. I mean, I really want you, guys, those of you all on campus, I want you to think about this. Pastor Eric, what bigger mission field do we need? Okay, here, I'll give it a lot of grace. Okay, there's 14,000 people that are disconnected to Christ, paralyzed. What are we doing about it? You know what I found that made these guys extraordinary in their faith? It was their heart. They so believed that Jesus Christ would change their friend, they connected their friend to Jesus who? Christ. You know what? I hope you all are singing today because you believe, and I assume that you are, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, you might as well sing because you believe, because we don't pay you nothing.
I wouldn't do it if I didn't.
Make sense? I'm not going to pay you anything because you know what? I believe there will always be somebody who believes that through that guitar, somebody might come to know who?
Jesus.
Now you understand Hillview. Through these words today, people have already come to know who? Jesus, because Jesus speaks them to you. So how many of y'all need to receive Christ today? Some of you need to come and be baptized today. You need to go ahead and Jesus up on the deal. How many of y'all go like this? Well, I believe God's cool and everything, and I believe God's really neat, and I love God, and God loves me. Obviously, God would love me. American Christianity. Well, of course God loves me. Everybody loves me. We really don't. Because you're just like one of us. You've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the only glory, watch this, the only glory I have in my life, I have had to receive. His name is Jesus. Make sense? Let me run it by you again. The only glory I have found in my life, I had to receive it. And so for some of you today, guess what? It's going to be really cool. I don't know what time it is. I don't care. It's time for some people to walk out of here well today. Amen? How many of y'all need to just come in just a moment in this altar and confess to God, God, this is where I'm off base. Put me back on base. What do you think Jesus is going to do? Nah. If you came humbly today and said, God, I got some things in my life you need to really work with me on, what do you think Jesus would do? Think He's going to work with you on those things? I bet He is. So first thing you don't understand, I'm an addict. Good, be healed. Go walk. It works. Now, I know some of you shy away. You do this one in Hillview. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Steve. I can't be too vocal. I have been to jail. There's a lot of people been to jail at Hillview. Praise God, I like y'all. Y'all for real. Because the rest of them should have gone to jail and they didn't get caught. Watch this. I'm going to show you the truth. Let me show you the truth. This is how we hide stuff. How many of you have it done something at least one time they could have put you in jail for? Other than the pastor. Good. And that's good because the rest of you have done something else. Lied. Y'all never broke the speed limit? So fast that if they caught you. No, I said if they what? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We all need things. We all got things we need to work on. All right, we're going to come to this altar. I'm going to ask some of you to make a commitment today. I'm going to ask you to carry your friends to Christ. I'm not asking you to save them. I'm not asking you to work your magic healing powers on them because you don't have any. I'm just asking you to invite them to come hear about Christ. One by one. And sometimes you got to carry them, and the way that we carry them in our culture is just keep bugging them till they come. I've even had friends that are now regular attenders because they finally got saved. Praise Jesus. You know how they came to church? They said, Ayers, if I come one time, will you never ask me again? I said, that's a deal. When they came, man, praise God. Trust who? Jesus. Has it been pretty clear today? All right. If I seem riled up, I am. I mean, we got to have some people. I mean, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we got to start letting the world know this thing's for real. All right? I mean, if you need a song and a sermon, go to church. You know, there's plenty of churches that'll give you that. They'll tell you you're all right. They'll never address issues like jealousy, envy, strife. Because, I mean, those are all in the church. They'll never talk about our arrogance or our pride because those are all in the church.
I mean, you can hear the same three sermons. Don't drink, don't chew, and don't do. And they're in there too. And those things will kill you too. And I want you to know that I'm very aware of that. But I just want you to know there's some other things that will kill you too. But what I want to know, what I want you to know beyond all that, there's one thing that brings you to life. And He alone. Jesus Christ. How many of y'all need to hear Jesus look up at you as somebody's lowering you down the roof and go, "Hey, son, sins are forgiven. Hey, girl, get up and what? Hey, boy, get up and what? Hey, dude, get up and what? Go walk. Hey, Hillview Heights Church, get up and walk." There you go. So let's stand together. Pray with me. All right, I want everybody to hold up. This is not exit time. All right, hang in there. This is entrance time. Entrance into grace. Entrance into understanding forgiveness. Entrance into loving one another. I'm going to ask you all to do this again. Hold hands. If you're paranoid, bring some of that hand gel antiseptic with you. And I'll pray that God does not give us common colds, okay? You're not going to catch a cold praying together. You ready? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, speak to our hearts. Speak to where we can hear. Jesus, You know who's here that needs to receive You. And as He speaks to you right now, go ahead and tell Him, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I've just done some stupid stuff. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me. Come into my life. I believe You died on the cross and You've risen from the grave. Let God have You." Maybe you're a believer. And right now you got some friends, man, that have come to mind. Just lift them up in prayer, will you? Maybe it's a Joe or a Jack, or maybe it's a Bob or a Sue, Shamarcus, Sharika. Maybe it's Ema. Maybe it's Frank or Henrietta. I don't know. But it's somebody. Ask God if You'd be willing to carry them this year to Him. And then let Him speak those words. Some of us just need to be healed in this service. Listen, I just want to pray right now. If you're into something, you know it's killing you. I don't even care what the something is. It's hindering your life. Why don't you come to the altar today and say, "Lord God, You know there's some things that need to be removed out of me or put into me so that I might live well in You. Really, God, there's some things that need to be touched in me. Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Yeah? It's all kinds of opportunity, my friends, spread out all over this altar to pray with people, to ask God to heal, come to be baptized. There's all kinds of opportunity for your life to change forever. Some will sit and stare at the opportunity. Others will connect to it. Others of us are so arrogant we cannot even confess yet because we believe we have no problems whatsoever.
Lord, break our hearts. I'll start confessing. I've been all those people. The only one I find that works is this. Here I am, Lord Jesus. And I have fallen again. And my walk is paralyzed because I forgot to hear you tell me, get up. Because I was too busy telling you how I got down. Get up and walk, church. So in the name of Jesus, get up, receive His grace, be baptized in His mercy, be healed in the name of Jesus, be forgiven in the name of Jesus, and live a full and abundant life in the name of Jesus. Come, this altar's open. Come, it's open for all who will receive Him and hear Him and walk with Him forever. Come on.